Should have scheduled a longer hymn. Text for our meditation this evening is from our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 21. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, on May 19th, 1780, what came to be known as a dark day occurred in the New England portion of the United States. This darkness covered the New England states and parts of Canada. The darkness was observed as far north as Portland, Maine, and it extended as far south as New Jersey. And the daytime darkness was so complete that candles were required from noontime of the day that it began until the middle of the next night. On November 13th, 1833, there was a huge meteor shower, which some have quoted as consisting of about 200,000 meteors an hour. Observers say that it lit up the whole sky for hours. December 26, 2004. Official estimates in India say that 10,136 people were killed and hundreds of thousands were made homeless when a tsunami triggered by the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake near the Indonesian island of Sumatra struck the southern coast of India. That earthquake registered 9.1 to 9.3 and was the largest in five decades. St. Luke, in our text for today, tells us that the signs of the end of the world will be in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sea. And while the above situations don't cover all the signs of the end of the world, like wars and rumors of wars, which we've certainly seen, they do account for the vast majority of the signs that the world is coming to an end. If you look through your Bibles and study the signs of the end times, you will quickly realize that all of the signs of the end of the world have already happened except one. So, each and every day, we get closer and closer to the end of the world. And not just closer and closer to the end of the world, but we edge closer and closer to the end of our own personal lives as well. But until the gospel has been preached in all nations, until that last person has come to faith, we just aren't there yet. Do we sit around and wait? Do we sit around and twiddle our thumbs? In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus gives us a little bit of homework to do as we wait for that day. He gives us some work to do. We don't just put our heads in the sand and wait for the end. No, as people who love Jesus, we take a look at our text for today and we see what Jesus will have us do until he returns to take us home. So if you pick up your worship folder and take a look at our text for today, you will see that our Lord begins by saying in verse 28, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." I have to admit that the first thing I thought of when I read that on Monday was that image of meerkats standing up on top of their dens. In case you don't know, meerkats are a type of mongoose that are from South Africa. And in most of the pictures you see of them, there's a group of them standing together on their hind legs with their front legs down by their sides, and they're standing on their den, and they're all looking around. And that's exactly what I thought of when I read Jesus' words for today. Straighten up and raise your heads. Because doing the opposite is so easy for us to do. it is so easy for us to hide from the world. It's so easy for us to put our heads in the sand and say, that's none of my concern. But if our head is in the sand, then we are left very vulnerable. We can't defend ourselves. We can't defend our faith if our heads are in the sand. And so Jesus tells us to straighten up and raise our heads. In other words, be on the lookout. And as I thought of it more and more, that picture of the meerkats, all of them standing up on top of that den, looking around in different directions, is a really good visual for us. Because it shows us that we're not alone. We have fellow Christians who stand looking with us. We all stand together on top of our church, and we all look around us. Together, we are ready for anything that the world can throw at us. On our own, with our heads in the sand, we're vulnerable to the smallest threat. But if we do what our Lord says and straighten up and raise our heads, then we can be ready for anything. And if you take a look at that last paragraph of our lesson, starting with verse 34, Jesus gives us three different directives there. He says, watch yourselves, stay awake, and pray. Notice it doesn't say, watch your neighbor. It doesn't say to point out your neighbor's flaws. He says, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And how appropriate those words are for us this time of year. You know, we can get all involved in the stuff of Christmas. We can get all involved in the trimmings of the holiday. We can focus way too much on the shopping. We can focus way too much on cooking that Christmas goose. We can focus all too much on making sure that we've got everybody sitting at just the right place at Christmas dinner, right, exactly right next to the right person, so much so that we totally miss the reason why we're celebrating at all. Christmas is not about the decorations. Christmas is not about finding the perfect Christmas card. Christmas is not about buying the perfect gift for the person who has everything. Christmas is about Jesus and his birth in Bethlehem and his work of redeeming us from sin, death, and the devil. Christmas is all about Jesus as God's gift to us. And so we follow our Lord's directive and we watch ourselves. You know, I spent enough time talking about that staying awake part in my sermon a couple of weeks ago. If you missed it, it's up on our website, trinityracine.com. Look at the sermons part and then look for the title, sermon titled When. But what I really like about in our text for today as compared to a couple of weeks ago is that Jesus puts the stay awake in very close proximity to praying. Stay awake at all times, he says, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things. And again, on our own, we're not going to have enough strength. But if we stay awake praying, God will give us the strength. And there's no doubt about that either. It just makes sense that God is going to give us all the strength that we need. I mean, think about it this way. God sacrificed his one and only son on the cross to save us. And if God is going to sacrifice Jesus on the cross, then surely he's going to give us the strength that we need to survive to the end. So we stay awake and we pray, knowing that God is going to give us the strength that we need. He loves us and he cares for us. He's going to give us everything that we need for our salvation because of that great love that he has for all of us. So as we travel through this Advent season, I would challenge you to spend a little bit more time in God's Word. I mean, that's the whole point of having midweek Advent services, is to spend a little bit more time in God's Word. Look through the text like we have for here today, where Jesus lays out those signs of the end times. And you can go home and Google signs of the end of time, and in your search, you will find, like I said, that everything has been fulfilled, except for the gospel being preached in every tribe and nation and language and people. And as you do that, you contemplate what to do next. Take a really good lesson at our lesson for tonight, where Jesus himself tells us to straighten up and raise your heads, to watch yourselves, stay awake, and pray. And maybe find one of those pictures of meerkats and paste it on your refrigerator to remind you to straighten up and raise your heads. You know, those are great activities for us during Advent and Lent, really any time of the church year, as we patiently wait for our Lord to return and as we wait for him to come and take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.